We're doing our class on the Jewish home, and our topic tonight is, we could call it telling the truth, we could call it telling lies, because that's really our topic, both. So I want to give you a few scenarios, just some food for thought. You come home, and your wife says, "Why are you late tonight?" Scenario number two. You come home and your wife says, you remembered that tonight is a special night. Scenario number three. You just had a siyum. Finished a masechet, and you walked your parents out to the car, and your wife says, "What did your mother think of the dress I was wearing?"
Lying to the truth, I get it.
Very good, Lucas. So, do you lie? Do you tell the truth?
You lie.
Oh, wait. One answer, one size fits all, right? So I want to begin maybe with an interesting story. There was a couple who was going to take a flight. This goes back in the days when they'd actually weigh you and they'd ask you your age. And so the woman tells her husband, "You know, I hear they ask you your weight before we go on the plane. Should I tell them I weigh more? And then maybe I'll get away with less luggage. Should I tell my weight less? And then maybe they'll allow me to have more weight on the luggage. Do you think it's better to say I weigh more? Or do you think it's better I say I weigh less?" So the husband looks at her and says, "Well, why don't you tell him what you really weigh?" And the wife looks at him and says, "Yeah, I didn't think of that." Okay. Now, why am I saying this? Because it's fairly common that people can enter habits like lying, and then they rarely think of telling the truth because they're always thinking, "How can I beat the system?" That's an issue we're not going to talk about. If someone has that issue, they have to work on it, and that's an issue that's going to show itself in the day-to-day. I think one of the goals a person should try to set for himself is to be a person who tells the truth. It's a high goal. It's not so easy. Can you stand up to someone who comes and tells you, "You said this and this happened"? Look him in the eye and say, "I don't remember the conversation, but I didn't say that because it didn't happen." Ask yourself that. That's tough question, and that's where you should be striving to. That person can come to you and say, "You know, you said this happened. You don't remember the conversation. You remember you spoke to him. You don't remember what you said. But you could tell him, I didn't say that because it didn't happen. And that's a lie." Think about it. It's not easy. That's Machon Meir work. Not the Jewish home. You know, that's building your personality, something to work on. Everyone has to work on it, and it's a lifelong task. It's not easy. We tell stories. We tend to embellish stories. We discuss the Chazon Ish, who discusses the difficulties in trusting history books, because people like telling a story that's exciting. You just embellish a few facts, and it becomes even more exciting. That's not our topic tonight, because that's a separate topic that's not necessarily relevant to the Jewish home. That's something every person has to work on. And as we proceed in life, hopefully we grow in this and we become more honest people. Our subject is a different subject. It's a subject of, within the relationship, you suddenly find yourself with a challenge. So let's do what every good Jew should do. Let's go back to our sages and analyze a few examples we have, a few classical examples we have. So let's take the example of Adam and Eve. That's a good starting point. So Maybe we should do this differently. I'll challenge you. How many examples can you think of in Tanakh where husbands and wives said something to one another that was less than the truth? Let's see, guys, help me out. Let's build this class together. Okay, Benny, give us one.
Avram and Sarah.
Which, what are you talking about with Avram and Sarah?
The second time when Avram had to lie that Sarah was his sister.
Yeah.
And then they kind of kidnapped Sarah a second time.
Right. So who does he...
Oh, sorry to give him permission that time.
Okay, so that's an interesting example because that was the first example that came to my mind too. But it's not exactly him telling her less than the truth, even though he didn't tell her he was going to do that to her, right? That's what our sages say. The second time around, he knew better than to tell her, I'm going to do this thing again, right? Okay, but let's think of some other examples where it's more direct. Or people are either speaking to one another, withholding information, or Rivka. Altering information. What? Rivka and Yitzchak. What are we talking about with Rivka and Yitzchak? What's all that? Let's break it down.
Well, the fact that Rivka substituted Yaakov for
Esau. Okay. What else?
Right now, it's all comes.
Okay, so maybe we should add to Rivka and Yitzchak a little bit. Yeah.
Yaakov.
Okay, Leah. What's with Leah and Yaakov?
She had like maybe a day to tell him who she was.
Okay. Right? What other examples can you guys think of in Tanakh? Let's broaden our search here. Adam and Eve, what? Husband and wife. Yeah, let's look at husband and wife relationships here and let's see where this comes up. Samson and the Timnis, right? That Samson and the Timnis, and Samson and Delilah, okay? Now, we have a few examples. Adam and Eve, almost every couple in Tanakh has been brought into play here, right? Adam and Eve, Avram and Sarah, Rivka and Yitzchak, Leah and Yaakov, Shimshon and the Timnis, Shimshon and Delilah.
Tamar and Yehuda,
okay.
That's not husband and wife.
They became husband and wife, ultimately. Right, okay.
Does David and Bathsheba count?
What point with David and Bathsheba?
Or that David kind of took her?
That's a different point. It's not a question of truth. Okay, so... What? David and Michal. Which point with David and Michal? But what was less than honest than that?
That she got married with the intention of like staying with David and then got remarried.
But that wasn't her fault. She couldn't stand up to her father. She couldn't do anything. And we will learn that she was super faithful to David. That in that juncture she actually was tremendously pious. They put a sword in between the two beds. And Palti ben Laish and she each slept on two sides of the room. And all those, that period, those months... They never touched one another. That's otherwise, okay, whatever. So let's begin with Adam and Eve. So who was wrong in that story? In the story of Adam and Eve? Remind me. Adam. Where does our story begin?
Adam.
Adam. Why do you, I know why you'd say Eve. Why do you say Adam?
Because he told her like an extremity, like an extra thing.
Oh, so who lied first? Who lied first? Adam. Very often, the first point we have to realize is that very often, when we explode about a lie, if we're really careful, we did it first. We look at the other side, and we always have to remember that painful rule that Chazal told us, kol haposel b'mumo posel. Whenever you find fault in others, you're really finding your own faults in others. So people will say, "Nah, I was fair with her. I didn't do anything." Really?
Adam
tells her, God said, we shouldn't eat from the fruit nor touch it. Did God say not to touch it? God said, don't eat. God didn't tell them not to touch it.
No?
No.
Look, you touched it and nothing happened to you.
No. That's later. But first, you see, when Chava quotes Adam, when Eve quotes Adam, she says, Mipri etz agan nochel. We could eat from all the fruits. Or mipri etz asher betoch agan, but from the fruit of the tree that's within the garden. Amar Elokim, God said, lo tochelu mimenu velo tigeu bo. Don't eat or touch it, pen temutun, lest you die. So she's quoting God, which she heard through Adam. And here we are given the insight, what Nachum correctly pointed out, that's the way it says in Avot Rabbi Natan, that Adam lied to her. Adam had good intentions, but he lied. So Adam could look at the resulting catastrophe and say, it's all her fault, she lied, she didn't tell me it was the fruit. But wait a second, he set her up. He lied. He told her, if you touch it, you die. And then the serpent pushed her onto the tree. She touched it. She didn't die. She said, gee, I guess Adam's a liar. I guess there's nothing wrong. Just like I can touch it and I won't die, I can eat it and I won't die. Whose fault was it? We always look at the story and we say, ooh, what did Eve do to us, right? I know a couple that many times in their marriage, the husband tells the wife, Eve, and he doesn't mean it as a compliment. But in truth, you know, she could answer Adam. You know, where did the story begin?
That's awesome, though.
Let's go to the story of Avram and Sarah. So, I want to focus on a different part of the story for a second. Sarah laughs, and Avram comes to Sarah and says, why'd you laugh? And Sarah says, no, I didn't laugh. And Avram says, no, you laughed.
What did Avram do to make her? What did he didn't lie to her?
No, but she lied to him. The Torah says she lied to him. But techachesh, Sarah, lemo. Here you find the word kichush first time in Tanakh. The word lie appears first time with regard to Sarah, our matriarch. The truth is, the word kachesh doesn't necessarily mean lie. It can mean deny. But that's the first time we find that root. Ow, it's our mother, Sarah. So, wait a second. What does the pasuk say next? V'techachesh Sarah lemo, lo tzachakti. Sarah denied a truth and said, I didn't laugh. Ki yarea. What do those words tell us? Ki yarea, because she was scared. Ki yarea. So is the pasuk pointing a finger at her? Or is the pasuk pointing another finger somewhere? We have to understand why we lie. There are multiple reasons why we lie. But one of the reasons we lie is because we're scared of telling the truth. We're going to discuss that it's really the path of least resistance. And we're going to discuss that it's really the path to maintaining autonomy. You come home late from work. Why are you late? So, if you tell her the truth, you know, I was sitting and surfing the web. There were fascinating articles and I just lost the track of time. So then she's going to get upset at you. So you don't say that. You say, you won't believe what happened today. And now you're waiting. And she's going to say, oh, there was terrible traffic on the road again? And you're going to say, traffic? You call that traffic? You can't imagine what was on the road today. You didn't lie, right? You just misled. You didn't lie. She goes, oh, I feel so bad for you. But it's so funny because our next door neighbor says that he left work at the same time you left work, and he's been home for an hour and a half. And he says he saw you on the way. Oh! To be continued, Bezachem, in 2 minutes.